our last day on the topic of Nevuah in the Rambam. Hopefully for the remainder of the week, we'll turn our attention back to the development of Torah Shvah Peh, specifically the development of Machlokas. But for today, let's see how the Rambam wraps up his conversation about Nevuah. He had been talking extensively about the process of assessing and certifying a Navi, which in retrospect gave us a lot of insight into a lot of things. You remember that we had seen that he saw a three-part assessment process: prescription, person, and prediction, looking at what the Navi, what might be a legitimate thing for a Navi to say, and looking at the sort of person who is a Navi, that he represents the highest rungs of the development of a human being, the development of a Jew, development of an Eved Hashem, which already gives us a lot of sense into what it means to strive, even if we don't anticipate necessarily becoming a Vim. But where that ladder is that we seek to climb, as far as we are Zocha to climb it. In terms of the assessment process itself, it became clear that it's not about Nisim, and it's not about doing the things that might, catch people's attention and be very charismatic and distract. And instead, it's about Emes. It's about being able to make, not by doing things which are flashy, but the way that a Navi is certified is by telling us things which are clearly, demonstrably true. Right? Repeated detailed predictions of the future where every single detail comes to pass. And now we're going to see what happens once he is a Navi. And this is actually going to take us back. We're going to round back to actually the first part of the certification process, the question of the prescription, the question of what sorts of things might a Navi tell us to do. And we're going to see within this, again, we have not, Klal Yisrael has not been Zocha to hear Nevi'im live for a good 2,500 years or so, since the days of Malachi, the beginning of the Bayis Sheni period. And yet we'll see in the way that the Rambam describes the activities of a Navi, we'll see ideas that I think are relevant to our lives now and actually have been maybe uniquely relevant over the COVID era. Kasher tisameis nevuas ha-Navi apiv Mashiach sadnu. Here we are at the bottom of page Lamed Aleph. He says, once and the Navi has been misameis, he's been certified, he's been demonstrated to be a real, authentic, genuine Navi, he's parsei min yano, and it becomes well-established that he's a legitimate Navi, as happened with Shmuel, as happened with Eliyahu. And by the way, just those Vizula, some and others, just those examples are enriching. If you remember your Sefer Shmuel and your Sefer Malachim, it's worth considering the examples Rambam gives. Shmuel and Eliyahu are two very different types of figures, two very different persona in Tanakh. And Shmuel is a leader of Klal Yisrael, and he's the last of the Shoftim. He's the one, the transitional, pivotal leader figure who anoints not one but two kings. He establishes the beginning of monarchy for Klal Yisrael, and he is the one whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu has appointed both Shaul and David. Eliyahu, the image he strikes in the Sefer Malachim is much more of an anti-establishment figure. Right? He's the one who centuries later is railing against, pushing back against Ahav, who is the king of Yisrael. Ahav is the paradigm of corruption. Ahav is the paradigm of power run amok on so many levels, avodah zarah and ritzicha and corruption of every type. And Eliyahu is a Kadosh Baruch Hu shliach to push back against that corruption of power. So just the two examples Rambam gave, I think, very carefully chosen. Nevi'im, Kadosh Baruch Hu might send Nevi'im in different roles in different times to perform different types of things. And both Shmuel and Eliyahu, as well as all the other Nevi'im, fit within the framework that the Rambam has described. And even though they strike us as being different types of figures in Tanakh, both were people of extraordinary measure, extraordinary chachma, extraordinary yira, extraordinary midos, who underwent the certification process that the Rambam described, and who gave nevuos, very different types of nevuos, but all were nevuos that fit within the parameters the Rambam described of Hilchos Nevuah. What are acceptable, appropriate nevuos a Navi might deliver? And then he says, all the Nevi'im, from Shmuel to Eliyahu and everyone else, once they're certified, qualified, they can do something that no one else can do. Nevi'im, once we know that they are a Navi, they do have a power that no one else has. And you'll notice that he says, lif'ol bat Torah. They have the capacity to operate within halacha in a way that no one else can. And this reinforces the point that Rav Shalat makes, points out, that Rav Rambam keeps making. The Navi is not, whether he looks to us like an establishment figure like Shmuel, or looks to us like an anti-establishment figure like Eliyahu, but either way, they're operating within the framework of halacha, and we listen to Nevi'im, as we discussed several shiurim ago. The Rambam says a greater length in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, the Mishnah Torah. We listen to them not despite the halacha or independent of the halacha. We listen to them because of the halacha. The halacha, there are unique halachos about a Navi. And that's what he says. They can be po'el bat Torah. Within the halachic system, they operate, they have unique halachos attached to them that are different than anyone else. Just like there are halachos about parents that we have vis-a-vis our parents, we don't have vis-a-vis anyone else. There are halachas in terms of how you're mechabed tamnei chachamim. They're different than anyone else. There are halachas about the Navi. They're different than how we treat anyone else. And it is, sounds very radical. He goes on to sketch some ideas that we already spoke of Balpeh when we were looking at the prescription of the Navi, what the Navi can and cannot say. He goes on to say, once a Navi is certified, if he tells us to violate a mitzvah saseh, or he tells us to violate the law, he tells us not to put on tefillin today, he tells us to walk down the block to McDonald's, go buy yourself a cheeseburger, and chow down. We are obligated to follow his instructions. If you violate what the Navi said, you're violating the halacha. You're chayv misa b'day shamayim. The one exception is avodah zara. And he goes on to explain. We already discussed this earlier. He goes on to quote the Gemara in Yevamos and elsewhere about Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel, that Eliyahu in that momentous showdown on Har HaKarmel, where he was makriv korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not Chalila Tavod Zara, but outside of the Beis HaMikdash, that's usually an Isur Kares, Shochet Bachutz, an Isur Kares of Ma'ala Bachutz. And he says, look, Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Gemara tells us in Avod, in Yevamos, here quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, B'cholam yomar locha Navi Avar Divrei Torah Shemalo Chutz Me'Avod Zara. The Navi tells you to violate the din, you have to listen once he's a certified Navi. Exception being, wow, Yonatan, welcome in. Welcome in. Exception being Avodah Zarah. But, as he said, as we discussed earlier, B'tanai shlo yasmid oso hatzivoy. Gemara Sanhedrin says Avodah Zarah is an exception. Avodah Zarah is a limitation on the bounds of what a Navi might prescribe. The Gemara Yevamos gives us another bound. It can't shlo yasmid oso hatzivoy. It can't be a masmid. It can't be letamid. It can't be a permanent change. Ela yitzave bo lefi matzav ma be'ez miyuchedes. The Navi can come and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, right now, on a temporary one-time dispensation, Horo Asha, you need to violate the din. That's what he had said earlier. A Navi would never speak in the name of Avodah Zarah, an honest Navi. A genuine Navi would never tell us to violate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu permanently changed Halacha. Rabbi Shalom tells us in advance is not going to give ongoing revelation of Halacha through any Navi other than Moshe. And not Avodah Zarah, even on a one-time basis. And that's what he goes on to develop here. And he says, look, the Gemara Yevamos says that Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel had the right to be makir v'karben b'chutz. on a one-time basis. But he goes on to say, right after number 67, Avahu al aval shalom, Eliyahu himself, Ilu Nishal, Ram makes it very dramatic. Be'ez ha'krivo b'har ha'karmel. He's up there on har ha'karmel. He's busy shechting the carbon. He's busy burning the carbon on the Mizbeach. Right? In violation of what's normally the halacha. But if a Navi tells us that he got nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Harah Shah, to violate the din, we are allowed, and not only allowed, but obligated to listen. But if at that very moment, while he's shechting that carbon, you say to him, Ma tomar hanasa kamasa zeli olam, can we do this forever? At that very moment that he's violating the din temporarily, if you say, can we do this permanently? Haya omer bo shu'ein amutu. You say, absolutely not. Mishir makir b'chutz chayiv karis. The din remains. The din survives. Halacha is durable. No subsequent navi can change the halacha. Ye asa ze'ata k'dei l'galoz bo shikrus nevi ha'bal u'bitl mashvedeim. He's doing this right now on a temporary basis, with a particular purpose in mind, to demonstrate the falsity, to demonstrate that the Nevi'i Baal are inauthentic. That's all just made up. So, Elisha does it. He tells them on a one-time basis to cut down perfectly good fruit trees in violation of Baal Tashchis. So Rambam is highlighting, again, and that's, as we discussed in the past, that's a critically important point, because over the course of human history, there have been many times when someone has come and claimed to be a Navi and said, Kadosh Baruch Hu told me, and now the halacha should change. That was the birth of Christianity. That was the birth of Islam. And many other lesser known instances of that as well. But Kadosh Baruch Hu already built in, the Navi cannot permanently change, permanently abrogate, permanently modify the system of halacha using his koach hanavua. But Kadosh Baruch Hu might have him make a one-time, a temporary haras shah change. Yes, Adir. That's a good question. I'm not sure of the answer. It's a very good question. How long? Is there a shear? Is there a maximum bound of what's called Harasha? I mean, it says it for 10 years. We've been reading the news, if you've been following, 99-year leases. And so Navi says, Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, for the next 99 years, we're not going to follow this din. And so technically, it's not forever, but practically speaking, 99 years is longer than anyone's lifetime. Anyone was alive at that point. Obviously, as we know from following the news in Hong Kong, 99-year leases run out eventually, but not for 99 years. I'm not sure. That's an interesting question. There probably does have to be some sort of time limit. I'm not sure what it is. He goes on to give a mashal. He says, let me give you an example of this. I'm not sure if he will. I don't know the answer to your question, what the shear is. We can keep our eyes open as he gives a sketch, and we'll see if the Rambam tips his hand in terms of the sense of time. I also want to, as we read through the Rambam's sketch, he's doing more than just giving us an example. He is, in sketching an example of this din, this halacha, he's given us, I think, as I said before, an important yisod that applies even though we do not live in the era of nevuah, a larger yisod in Arvos Hashem. So let's take a look at the Rambam's story time with the Rambam. Ani avi lecha kan mashal. Let me give you a sketch, let me give you a vignette. Takish mimenu zeh ha'ikir mikal mitzvos. I'm going to give you one example of what this could look like. The Navi prescribing a temporary violation of halacha. I'm going to give you one example of one halacha, but it could be applied to any era of halacha except Avodah Zarah. Elohaya Navi, let's imagine there was a Navi. Shekvar nisam set slenu nevuah sokon shesiparnu. He already is a certified Navi, as we've discussed at length. So this authentic Navi tells us, B'yom HaShabbos, he comes to us on Shabbos, and he says, Shinokim kulanu, all of us need to get up, walk out of shul, walk away from Kiddush. Halavai, we should be zeich to have Kiddushim again soon. Walk away from your Shabbos Suda, walk away from your Chavrusa, walk away from your Shabbos net. Whatever it is you're doing on Shabbos, leave your Shabbos activities. Nashim va'nashim, both women and men, v'navi'ir eish, and get the fire, get your smithies fired up, light fires, unesakein b'klei milchama, and we're going to make weapons right now on Shabbos. Light the fires, make weapons, v'nach greim, and we're going to put them on, v'naharog anshei makom ploni hayom, and we're going to attack the inhabitants of such and such a place today, which is Shabbos. V'nishlol shlolom, v'natir nashayim. We're going to attack them, we're going to kill them, we're going to take booty, we're going to take the women. Sounds like many violations of halacha. Sounds like multiple violations of Chil Shabbos, and a violation of Begedish, and what's with the Ritzicha? And why are we taking Shalal? And why are we taking the women? What's going on? Right? This rubs us the wrong way. So many violations of halacha, so many different dinim, all wrapped in one. It says the Rambam, if you had, these are things that we would normally never do. Each and every step is something that we would be absolutely forbidden to do. But if a Navi comes and tells us, an authentic Navi, a certified Navi, Hayinu Chayim tells us, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to tell you to do. Hayinu Chayavim Anachnu, we who are Mitzuvim B'Toras Moshe, we who follow Judaism, would be obligated, Nakumi Avlon Satzil, get up right away, without delay, without hesitation, without laziness, Kemosha Tzivan, follow through, Nasa Komasha Tziva, Bizrizus Vishkida. We would be obligated to follow the instructions we got with enthusiasm, with Zrizus, below Pikbuk, below Hisus. Usually talking about having Zrizus and running to Shul, having Zrizus and being ready for Shabbos. Here it's having Zrizus and things which are normally severe violations of halacha. And many of them, you know, disturb us morally also. Bli pikbuk, bli hisus. Without hesitation, without pushing back. V'namin b'chol ma she'naseh v'yo'osa hayom, eshehu Shabbos. We're going to, and we will believe, and we will accept that everything we do on that day which is Shabbos, lighting the fire, and making the tools, and the hariga, the mechama, and the murder, and the war, shehi mitzvah. We know that this is a mitzvah. And we expect, again, he's being very clear. This is not like we're putting our Judaism aside to do something else instead. This is part of the Yadus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reward us for which mitzvah? We fulfilled the command we got through the Navi. One of the 248 mitzvahs atzei, one of the 613 mitzvahs is to follow the commands of a Navi. It's coming up very soon in the Kriyas HaTorah. And he quotes that same Gemara Sanhedrin he quoted before. If he told us to worship Avodah Zarah, even just on a one-time basis, he's a Navi Sheker. But other than that, this is what we're supposed to do. And he goes on to say the following. Omnam isha choshev atzmo yirei shamayim v'tzad. Let's imagine there's a fellow who, with the Rambam's subtle sarcasm, who thinks of himself as a very religious man. Choshev atzmo. He thinks of himself as a great yirei shamayim, as a big tzaddik. V'uzakim baba yamim. He's already an older man. He's lived a long life. Shayom, he's going to say, I'm going to do this. Hinei zakin ma'od. I'm very old. Shnei chayai kach v'kach. I'm so many years old. I'm 85 years old. I'm 119 years old. Lo avarti ha-mitzvah, mitzvah me'olam. I've always been such a tzaddik. I never violated the din. Chil Shabbos. I was never mechal Shabbos in my life. I'm going to start now. Eichakum hayom. Eshehu Shabbos. Ve'evrad isur skila. Ve'elichem l'chama. What, on Shabbos? On Shabbos? I'm going to violate multiple isur skila. I'm going to go to war on Shabbos? I'm going to murder people? How could that be? Ani lo alev lo orid. I don't need to do it. I don't matter. They don't need me. I'm not lo malev lo morid. I'm an older man. They need my presence there. They can win the war without me. Ish acherim b'mekomi. Plenty of other people. Someone else will take care of it. Rabbi ma'anashim l'kim zetziv. Other people will follow the Navi. So it sounds reasonable. Or let me give you a different example, when it cuts much closer to home. The Rabbanim said, that because of Corona, we have to close down the shuls. And the Rabbanim said that because of Corona, we're not going to come to shul on Pesach. We're not going to come to shul on Shabbos. Rabbanim said that because of Corona, we're going to be vatal tefillah b'tzibur. Even the Ramban writes in his Pirush al HaTorah, that the term Mikra Kodesh means that public learning and public davening on a Yom Tov is a mitzvah daraisa. So a fellow says, I never missed minyan since I'm bar mitzvah. I'm 83 years old. For the last 70 years, I have not missed a tefillah b'tzibur. And now I'm going to miss a tefillah b'tzibur. Right? When I was under the, when I was in communist Russia, I managed to never miss a minyan. And now I'm going to miss a minyan because of this corona? Plenty of people have made that argument. And it has a certain emotional appeal. It has a certain emotional appeal. I miss minyan. Tefillah b'tzibur. What great koyach. How could it be? Many people have said, how could it be? If God doesn't want me to da'adira, could it be that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to daven tefillah b'tzibur? What do you mean? It's an esara. Of course we need to. We need to daven even more now. Right? I'm sure many of you, probably all of you, right? Raise your hand if you've heard people make that type of argument. Okay. Some of you have. Raise your hand if you've heard of people making that type of argument. Right? Okay. It has a certain emotional appeal. Sarah, we need to daven tefillah b'tzibur. How could I miss? And yet, we intuit, or let's give an even more basic example. And this comes up also. In the following case, posting of a Torah for hundreds of years. Right? It's Yom Kippur is coming, and there's a fellow in the community who is older, or maybe not older, but for some medical reason, the doctors say that it's he's placing his life at risk if he fasts. And the fellow says, how are you talking? I'm not going to fast Yom Kippur. I fasted. You listened up, you young rabbi, young whippersnapper. I've been fasting Yom Kippur for the last 76 years. If you think I'm not going to fast this year, you got another thought coming. There's no way I'm not fasting Yom Kippur. And you try to explain to him, a holy Jew, Baruch Hashem, for the last 76 years, it was Ratzon Hashem that you should fast. Now, it's Ratzon Hashem that you should not fast. We don't fast on Yom Kippur because it's Yom Kippur. We fast Yom Kippur because HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to fast Yom Kippur. So, if a fellow, his medical condition is such that it's a suffix sakana for him to fast, then Ratzon Hashem is that he should not fast. So there's no value in him fasting. Adraba, there's value in not fasting. There's value in activities because HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects some of us. That's ultimately the reason why we learn, the reason why we daven and v'chulu, 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 because that's what Ribbono Shel Olam wants of us. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's life is complex. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will is complex and nuanced. And sometimes different situations call for different reactions. The same principles can play out differently in different situations. So while for the last 76 years it was Ratzon Hashem, then the 10th day of Tishrei, this Jew should not eat. This year, it's Ratzon Hashem, then 10th day of Tishrei, this Jew should eat. And it's a mitzvah for him to eat now. And it would be an avera, a terrible avera for him to fast because of safek sakanas nefashos. It's true with the chola b'yom kippurim. It's true with shutting down shuls for corona. And Rabbanim said, look, under these circumstances, it's Ratzon Hashem that we should be apart from each other. It's difficult. It's physically challenging. It's socially challenging. It's emotionally challenging. And it was for many people spiritually challenging. How am I not going to daven shul? How are you talking that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me shul? The answer is, well, absolutely. The same way normally a religious Jew would never, ever get behind the wheel of a car and drive on Shabbos, chalila v'chas. But if you need to get someone to the hospital, sub-pikuach nefesh, then that's the biggest mitzvah. If that's what you do, that's what you need to do, then adraba. Well, it used to be an aveira is a mitzvah, used to be in a mitzvah aveira. It's the same Ratzon Hashem. You have to figure out in every situation, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want of me? As a matter of fact, it's a pasuk in this week's parsha. In the non-narrative parts of Chumash, it's rare to come across a direct question. In the narrative parts, when the Torah is telling the stories of the others, the stories of Moshe Rabbeinu, you hear plenty of questions in the conversations that we get to listen in on. in the non-narrative parts of Chumash, it's rare to hear questions. But arguably, the most crucial central question all of Yadus is in this week's parasha. Va'at Yisrael, Moshe Elokecha Shoel Mimach. Perek Yud. Moshe said to the Jewish people, listen up. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want of you? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. I need to try my hardest, often in consultation with Rabbeim and with other wise people. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want of me in this situation? So, does he want me to fast? Does he want me not to fast? Does he want me to make great effort to come to shul? Or does he want me to make great effort not to come to shul? And Rambam says, that's true with the Navi as well. Because that's also a halacha. Pikuach nefesh is a halacha concept, and we understand that. And Elov Tishma'un is also a halacha concept. The Navi is not this antinomian figure that's operating, you know, anti the halachic system or apart from the halachic system. He is part of the halachic system. Just like the halacha has unique things to say about pikuach nefesh, halacha has unique things to say about nevuah. That's what we said before. He has a koach to do a poal bator that no one else can do. Only the Navi can make a statement that we follow despite the fact that it's in violation of most dinei HaTorah. And what normally would have been a tremendous violation, multiple severe isurei Torah, if the Navi tells me as Hara Shah to do it, all of a sudden became a mitzvah. And, as he said, here's this older Jew who says, I never was Mechal Shabbos. Now I'm going to Mechal Shabbos because of this young Navi? Right, someone else will do it. And it has a certain curb appeal. It has a certain emotional appeal. I'm going to break my streak now. But it's not about the streak. It's about working for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And right now, that's what Ribbono Shel Olam wants. As the Rambam goes on to say, here's the key line. Asher tziva al HaShabbos, hu tziva lekayem tzivu kol Navi. He who commanded us to keep Shabbos is the one who also commanded us to follow the Navi. He who commanded us to daven tefillah b'tzibur is also one who commanded us to practice Shmiras HaNefesh. And that's why, if you violate garnish. And the Rambam goes on to say, let's be very clear. It doesn't mean, therefore, you should run roughshod over halacha in general or take any other liberties whatsoever. He says, on the other hand, you have this Jew who's following the Navi and he's making the metal tools, the weapons, and so on and so forth. But if you also, Misha Yikshar Keshar Kayim Bezeh Yom HaShabbos, if on the side, while he's busy, you know, working the bellows and in the factory, in the smithy, making the kelim, things that would normally be chil Shabbos, he also ties a kesher shel kayama. He does one other little malacha, unrelated, unincluded in what the Navi said. That not was not necessary for anything the Navi was doing. Just like once he was doing things that are normally you can't do on Shabbos, so he tied a knot also. Chayv Skila. That's still Chil Shabbos. The Navi isn't saying that Shabbos stopped applying. The Navi isn't, to reiterate the point from before, the Navi is not undoing the halachic system. The Navi is giving careful guidelines that specific things, the halachic value of certain activities just switched. But everything else is Kedekayim Makave. Everything else stands as it did. And he says, and he goes on to say, couple lines down, El Zeh Hakesh Kol Mashi Tzavacha Bo Hanavi. This is an example that you can apply to many different areas of halacha, in terms of when Navi comes and says to violate what would normally be the din. Throughout the Tanakh, you find that the Navi gave instructions to people to do something that's normally a violation of the halacha. What I just described, the combination of Gemara in Sanhedrin, and Gemara Yevamos, that is the key to making sense of all of those episodes in Tanakh. And then he goes on to say once again, Ubezeh levado nivdal hanavi mishar b'nei ha'adam b'torah. This is the soul, this is a massive difference, but it's also the only difference between a Navi and any other Jew in the system of halacha. I will be iyun uvahekesh uvahazbonus b'ator, in terms of interpreting, understanding, analyzing halacha, paskin in shayos harehu kashar chacham hadomim lo she'ein lo nevuah. He has no more power. And here he wraps back around to how he had started this whole excursion to Nevuah, and wraps back around to the main axis of this whole Hakdama. In terms of analysis of halacha and figuring out what the din should be, he is clearly a Talmud Chacham. To be a Navi, you have to be an extraordinary Talmud Chacham. That's part of the eligibility requirements. But you have no more standing than any other similar Chacham. He's like any other Chacham who is not a Navi. He says, just because he said a pshat, im yifaresh perush, this Navi gave one approach to how to understand the psukim, one approach to how to analyze the din in this case. V'yifaresh misha eno Navi, perush. And someone who's not a Navi also gave an interpretation. In machlokas, two Chachamim, one of them happens to be a Navi. The fact that he says, but I'm a Navi, doesn't matter. Hashem amar li sheperushi hu anachon, lo nishmai lav. We're not going to pay any attention to that. He says, if you have 1,000 Navim like Elisha and Eliyahu, unusual standing, great Navim, and Yifarshu Perish, 1,000 Navim, and they give one pshat, Elf Chacham and Vichacham, Yifarshu Hefech, and 1,001 Chacham on the other side. So, the rule is, Acharam Latos. Their status as Navim doesn't, is lo malev, lo morid, doesn't change. And he says, quotes the Gemara, Ilu amara li Yoshua benun befumel avaitziasnele, v'lo shamayinim ine. If Yoshua himself would have said this to me, I wouldn't have budged. I'm convinced that this is the din. You'll notice he doesn't say Moshe, because Moshe was a Navi, the Navi, who was authorized to deliver halacha to Klal Yisrael via Nevuah. And that Gemara, this Gemara that he just quoted, they tell you in the bottom, it's a Gemara in Chulin, Kuf Chav Dalet. I wouldn't have listened. Yehoshua has no unique standing in Halach. He was clearly a very great Talmud Chacham, but his Nevuah, his status as a Navi, doesn't impact his Halachic standing. That's exactly what you remember at the beginning of this segment. The Ramat said, Mashiyasu Yehoshua Pinchas. What Yehoshua and Pinchas did, Be'iyun HaTorah, is the same as what the Amoraim were doing. Fundamentally, again, Yehoshua had heard so much directly from Moshe Rabbeinu, but fundamentally, it was the same post-Moshe, Nevuah does not play a role in determining the halacha. Nevuah can, as Rambam just told us at length, there is a mitzvah, Elav Tishma'un. So on a temporary basis, I have to listen to the Navi, even if it's things which would normally be keneged in, or things which are neutral. He says, I want you to go catch a plane to Montreal and fly to Montreal and stay there for 3 days and come back. That's not normally a mitzvah or an aveira. It's neutral. So no, if a certified Navi says, do that, Elav Tishma'un. Or as Rambam said, even if he tells me to divide the halacha on a temporary basis and is not involved in the Avodah Zarah, then we have to listen to him as well. But in terms of the development of halacha, in terms of the analysis of halacha, in terms of figuring out what the din should be, how to interpret the psukim, further developing the Torah Shebaal Peh, he has no unique role as a Navi. He has a role as a Chacham, much as any other Chacham of his caliber would have. And that brings us to the end of what Rav Shalat calls segment two, Chelek Beis. The first segment was about Moshe Rabbeinu. The second segment was this excursion as we passed from Moshe to post-Moshe, this excursion to the world of Nevuah. And Mirtz Hashem, over the next 2 days, we're going to look at segment Gimel. We're going to go on to talk about, from Yehoshua and on, the Zakenim, the ongoing chain of Masorah. And at that point in the history, will be the Rambam's opportunity to talk about, and we're going to have a chance to learn about it over the next couple of days, the different segments of Torah Shebaal Peh, and to talk some more about where Machlokas comes from. Machlokas does not come from Nevuah. Machlokas comes from debate among Chachamim, whether they are Nevi'im or not. We'll talk some more about that in Mitzvah Hashem over the next couple of days.